Well, take a little bit to get used to this new look, won't it? And I'm sure they'll tweak it, change it. But so thankful. This is something that could be good for us and last a long, long time. Go to Psalm 34, if you would, please. Psalm 34. We've been on a series now for a few weeks. They were calling the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. If you've read the scripture much, you've come across that phrase, the fear of God, the fear of the Lord. And I think our camp, Word Faith, Word and Faith people, have, learned that we're not supposed to be fearful. And so I have kind of avoided anything that had the word fear in it. And people thought, well, fear is bad. Well, the fear of the Lord is not bad.
No, that's right.
And so obviously we need to understand some things about it and rightly divide the word concerning this. In Psalm 34, beginning in verse 7, he said this, he said, the angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Now, if the angel of the Lord encamps round about everybody, there's no need to say this. So does the angel of the Lord encamp round about everyone on the planet to protect them and deliver them? No, they don't. They don't. But they do, them that fear him, that fear the Lord. Keep going, verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Verse 9, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Now, he mentions two things relative to fearing the Lord, protection and provision. Just with those two, it should cause you to be interested, right, in what is the fear of the Lord and am I doing it and how do I do it fully and properly, right? Protection and provision. No want to them that fear him. How much want?
No.
No want. To everybody?
No.
No. To them that fear him. Then he goes on to say in verse 11, come ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So the fear of the Lord can be taught. If it can be taught, it can be learned. It can be understood. It can be received and developed in. So we have already been done a number of messages on this. And if you haven't been with us, go online, faithlife.org, and go to the Word Supply. And all of those things are there at no charge, no cost to you. And it would benefit you to hear what came before, because we're building one on another. One thing that we've looked at, and look, go please to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1, in defining what the fear of the Lord is. Sometimes you need to find out what something is not to see what is. And you will see that in Proverbs, the first chapter in verse 7. He said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's where true knowledge starts. It doesn't matter how long you've been to school or higher education or how many degrees you have. If you don't respect God you don't even begin to understand anything. You could be considered a genius in your field and yet actually be a fool. Because the fool says in his or her heart, there is no God. So the beginning of knowing is the fear of the Lord. But fools do what?
Despise
wisdom and instruction. So here you see the opposite of the fear of the Lord is despising. Despising. If you look at the 13th chapter, Proverbs 13 and 13, it says it like this. Proverbs 13, 13 said, whoso despises the word shall be destroyed. Can you ignore what the Lord tells you and still be okay?
No.
No, you can't. But he that what? Fears the commandment shall be rewarded. So here you see again this contrast between fearing and despising. Part of the fear of the Lord is the honor of God. And, you know, we have this caption up over the platform here. Those who honor me, I will honor. And the rest of that verse says, the Lord said, those who honor me, I will honor, but those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Now, this is very significant. Are you awake?
Yes.
Honor is from the word that means heavy. What's the opposite of heavy?
Light.
To treat something lightly, to treat it like it doesn't matter, like it is of no value, like it is insignificant, is what the Bible calls despising it. And if you fear the Lord, you don't make light of his things. Anybody in agreement?
Yes.
You don't make light. Now here's the thing. Romans 12 warns us. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why would you need to say that? Because whatever's going on in the world tries to get in the church. And sadly, it's all too frequent that it's successful. And what you've seen over the last few decades is a steady decreasing of respect.
Yes.
And honor between people and about anything. And that reflects a loss of the fear of God. And so people, you know, the phrase is like, whatever. Whatever. It describes a general mentality that nothing is important. Nothing is a big deal. Well, that describes someone who has no fear of God, who lacks the fear of the Lord, which also would disqualify you and cause you to lose the protection that we talked about or lose the provision that we talked about. Because is God obligated to protect people who despise him? Huh? Does God owe it to people to provide for them who mock him and use his name in vain and scoff and mock at church and at preachers and at Christians? This is widespread, which shows you a loss of and a lack of the fear of God. And we're in the world, but we're not of it. And we are not going to be conformed to this ungodly world that doesn't have respect for God or his people or his things. In fact, we're going to increase in our fear of the Lord and in our honor, right? And our respect and our love and our value for everything that is His.
Amen.
Right? His words, His spirit, His people, His church. Hallelujah. All of His things are a very big deal to us. We make a big deal out of it. Right? We spend money on it. We get up early. We dress up. Oh, I lost somebody there. We come. We stay late. Y'all with me or not? Now see, if you didn't like part of that, have you been conformed to the world somewhat? You hear what I'm saying? You think there's no reason to make any effort? There's no reason to, you know, to give? There's no reason to... It's insidious, the influence round about us. Especially if you sit and watch too much TV. Too much movies. Right? Because what are you going to be seeing all the time? Disrespect. Do you see disrespect in shows? And just nonstop. Disrespect. Disrespect. Why? Because that's the devil. He is Mr. Disrespect. Huh? Mr. Rebellious. That's him. And he is called the prince of this world. He's called the God of this world. But He's not my God.
No.
And He's not your God.
No, sir.
We honor our God. Now, notice in 2 Peter 3, you believing with me today?
Yes.
There's some things I hadn't exactly taught like this before, but you're believing with me, right?
Yes,
we get there, we get it right. 2 Peter 3 and 3. 2 Peter 3, 3 says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust. This is some of the same idea as mockers. Mockers. And one of the things they'll say, verse 4, where's the promise of His coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. This is the language of unbelief. What this is connected to is, there is no God. There is no Jesus raised from the dead. There is no, Jesus coming back and second coming. That's just all, you know, religious junk. Well, you and I wouldn't dare say that.
No,
we don't believe that.
No,
He is coming back.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Amen.
And He goes on to say in the passage that they are willingly ignorant of the fact that with God, 1,000 years is like a day. So yeah, if the Lord says, I'm coming soon, if it was a half a day from now to Him, that's 500 years. So perspective of time is a real issue in understanding these things. But He's coming.
Yes.
Huh? Yeah, He is. And if you mock it and make fun of it, you're a fool. The BBE says it like this. It says, there'll be men who will make sport of holy things. They'll make sport of holy things. The CEV says it like this. They will make fun of you. They will make fun of you. They're making fun of Jesus' return. They're making fun of people like us. They're mocking. And last week we saw that sarcasm is an evidence of no fear of God. And that is just widespread in what people call humor nowadays. They just call that humor. But it's disrespectful. It's disrespectful and it's dishonest. You need to say what you mean. And mean what you say, right? And so respect. And here's another part of this. People with no fear of God are not afraid to mock and make fun of the very holy things of God. Which shows you don't believe there is a God. You're acting like there is no God. You're acting like there's nothing past this life. nothing after death. You're acting like there's no judgment seat. There's no judgment for anything. There's no right. There's no wrong. Then you believe lies. You are deceived. You are in darkness. Now, go with me, if you would, to the book of 2 Kings. We looked at, actually started in the first chapter of this last week. And so now we've moved all the way to the second chapter. 2 Kings 2. And you'll find that there's in these first several chapters of this book, there's a lot of what we're talking about relative to the fear of God, the fear of the Lord. You know, last week we talked about, you know, that the king sent the captain and his 50, and they yelled at the man of God, "Oh, man of God, get down here!" Right before they were blasted with plasma and lightning from on high. See, they weren't afraid to run their mouth in the presence of God's choice and what God had done. Now, I'm going to skip ahead just a little bit to show you why we're talking about some of these things. I believe it is God's will to do more miracles in our day. And more signs. And more wonders. Which involves cranking up the power in our midst. But it was in these very circumstances that Ananias and Sapphira fell dead in church. This is New Testament, right? Part of the same church we're a part of. Why? Well, because the more you see the manifestation of God and His holy things, if you have attitude in the midst of that, you tell lies in the midst of that, you could be judged. So we want these things, these miracles, these signs and wonders, but there's also a preparation of heart. You need to know when to be quiet. If you don't understand something, just say, "Lord, teach me." We live in the post-it generation. Isn't that right? Take a selfie and post it. Y'all gonna help me with this? We live in a everybody's got an opinion about everything and gonna tell it and don't care if it's respectful or who it hurts. That's the ungodly world we live in, and it should not be the church. It should not be. Believers, and especially when holy things manifest, it matters that you see them right and you talk about them right. And you respond in the fear of the Lord. Well, we saw that with the 50, captain of the 50s, and that thing with Elijah. Well, in the second chapter of this same writing, that was the first chapter, 2 Kings 1. This 2 Kings 2 is when Elijah was taken up by a whirlwind. And this is interesting because the groups, different places where they went, they were groups of people they called the sons of the prophets. And they were aware that this thing with Elijah was going to happen today. And he went to another town, and there were people there who were aware of it too. And they said, "Do you know the Lord's going to take your master from your head today?" He said, "Yeah, I know it. Be quiet." We should be aware. These were people who are not born again. We should be aware of spiritual things. Well, you know the account. If you've read it, if you hadn't, take time, read it. Right, it's right here in this chapter, second chapter. As they were talking, and walking, here comes the whirlwind and the chariot and horse of fire, and divide, split them, and up goes Elijah. Whew. And Elisha said, oh, the horsemen of Israel. And what an experience. He sees him go out of sight. And then here comes his mantle floating back down, which is indicative of the anointing for the earth staying in the earth. And we see later that the anointing that was on Elijah was also on Elisha. And you know, there's a whole thing there that when Jesus was caught up and sat down at the right hand on high, not long after that, there came a rushing mighty wind.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit has come on the church. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Are these holy things?
Yes.
They are. And so this had just happened. Not long before these verses I'm about to read now, towards the end of this second chapter. In 2 Kings 2, and let's see, 23. 2 Kings 2:23, he, Elisha, went up from thence unto Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him, and said to him, go up, you bald head. Go up, you bald head. Now, if you've read this, you know this is a very bad idea. But go up is the same word that was translated earlier in the chapter where Elijah went up. And it appears that they are mocking that. Maybe they heard about it. You know they heard about it, but didn't believe it. Maybe they didn't believe it. Now, the King James says little children. And when we read that today, we think toddlers. But are there really? This is a big group. There's probably somewhere around 50. Could be 75, 100. So are there 75 toddlers out here in the street yelling, go up, you old bald head? This same word translated little children, in another place, King James translated young men. Young men. This is not what we'd call children. Could have been adolescents. Could have been teens, could have been what we would call boys. But think about this. A mob of 75 boys out in the street yelling and mocking at a real man of God. This tells you the state of the city. Right? Now, one reason we should be talking about this, have we seen yelling, cursing mobs
yes.
in our streets
yes.
in recent times? Why have we seen this?
Yes.
No fear of God.
Right.
No fear of God. Do we want to see the power cranked up in our generation and miracles and signs and wonders? Yeah, but then it gets dangerous for things like that. We do want to see that. We don't want to see judgments. But you'll see, looking at the scriptures, they go together. And here are these youth, these teenagers, a mob of them, you know, scores of them, out here yelling at the man of God, making fun of his appearance, and mocking this holy manifestation of God catching Elijah up off the earth. Now, this didn't just start the day that Elisha got to town. What's been going on in this place? What's going on at home? What's going on with their parents or their grandparents? Or how do you get to this place? Well, keep reading. They came out and they're mocking him. And they're making fun. He turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came out two she-bears out of the woods and tore 42 children or youths of them. Now, you either believe the Bible or you don't. This either happened or it didn't. Now, this thing cursed them in the name of the Lord. That's the same word that's translated lightly that we've been talking about, which is the opposite of honor and fear of the Lord. One translation said it like this. It said, this is Young's literal translation, says he looked behind him and saw them, these yelling youths, and he declared them vile. Did you hear that phrase? Yeah. And Young's literal is the author of the Young's Concordance, so he knows a thing or two about the language. He said, he translates it, he declared them vile, V-I-L-E, in the name, well, there it is, in the name of Jehovah. And at that moment, these bears come out of the forest and just wade into them. And didn't kill all of them, which is why I say it could have been 50, 75 of them, because there were still some left after 42 of them were killed. Now, when you read this, if you think, well, I just can't accept that. That's the you know, those kids, they're just kids. Then you think you're more just than God. You think something is owed to them because they're young. You think protection is owed to them. And it's not. Go to Leviticus if you would. Y'all are quiet. I'm believing the Lord to help me get this right. Are you believing with me? Leviticus 26. This word had been pronounced long ago. And this is not the only instance of this happening in the Word. And yet this sounds foreign to a lot of church-going people, doesn't it? In Leviticus 26 and 6, this is a similar chapter to Deuteronomy 28, to where it's talking about the blessings and the curse. If you listen to God, if you'll obey Him, wouldn't that involve showing some respect for His things and value for His things? Then all these blessings will come on you. If you don't, if you ignore Him and you spurn Him and reject Him, these curses will come on you. Now look at verse 6, the blessing. I'll give you peace in the land. You shall lie down and none shall make you afraid. I will rid evil beasts out of the land. And neither shall the sword go through your land. The Lord said, if you listen to me, I'll protect you from the predators and from the beasts. Now you got to remember, there were a lot more lions and bears around then than there are now. In fact, that was one of the things that the Lord cautioned them about taking over the promised land. He said they didn't need to displace everybody at once. He said the beast of the area would multiply on you. It was a danger. Just taking a trip from one place to the other. A lot of people just never made it to the other side because of predators, lions, bears, these kind of things. And so the Lord says, if you will listen to me, I will be your protection. I will protect you from enemies coming against you with the sword. I'll protect you from disease. If you read the rest of this chapter, I'll protect you from evil beasts. Now, what about our text, Psalm 34? The angel of the Lord encamps round about what? Who? Who? Well, what about those who don't? What about those who run their mouth and they mock and they scoff and they make fun of things? They don't understand. Are they safe? Does God owe them protection too, just because they're on the planet? Here's the thing. God doesn't have to personally destroy anybody. All he needs to do is lift his protection. Y'all with me? We saw that with Miriam. You remember that? The Lord told Miriam and Aaron, why weren't you afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And so when his presence left after that, disease jumped on her. She didn't get that disease in the presence of God. It was after the presence left. You do understand. There's enough stuff down here all around you to kill you 1,000 times over before the sun sets today. And you and I are not going to make it unless and without him keeping us and helping us and protecting us and sustaining us. Well, who's going to get that? Those that fear him, those that respect him, those that show some respect and honor. If you skip down to the 22nd verse, this is the curse. If you won't listen, I'll send wild beasts. They'll rob you of your children. Isn't that exactly what happened? Many years later, it had already been pronounced. He's just telling them what's going to happen. They'll destroy your cattle. They'll make you few in number. That's wild beasts. Your highways will be desolate. Nobody will want to travel because a lion will get you. A bear will get you because of no protection. Skip with me. Go with me to the 17th chapter of 2 Kings. 2 Kings 17. We need mind renewal because the world thinks they are owed things that they are not owed. And many people think they are entitled. And you'll find that the further people get away from God, they get more and more and more this way. We got people in our country right now, they think they are owed money for them to lay on the couch and do nothing. Huh? They want me and you to work. Is that right? And pay more and more taxes for them to lay on the sofa and get their check. It's not just us. We were in Spain a while back. And man, they acted like they were going to have a civil war. Because one of the side is so mad that the other side is living off of them. You know? Taxing them and taxing them, and they won't work. This is ungodliness. This is no fear of God. And people think they are owed a good life because they were born. They are owed protection. They are owed provision. They are owed blessings. No, you're not. You're not owed these things. If you're a believer, you've been given by grace. Grace means you didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. It's not a, you've been given. We've been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness, and we should just be saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And when you have a near miss and you weren't killed and you weren't destroyed, you don't need to say, I deserved it. No, you need to say, thank you. Right? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Why? Because he doesn't owe everybody all of these things. In fact, the wages of sin is what? That's what's owed. Death is what's owed for sin. Oh, but thank God, the Lord took our place. And he took sin and he took death. and was judged in our place and gave us life. Hallelujah. And qualified us to be protected and kept and blessed. But you don't want us hang around the world so much that you start talking like they do. And you start showing disrespect and mocking and making fun of things that you don't understand. And let me just say this. It's not funny to make mock somebody's appearance. Ever. Y'all with me or not? You know, I know the world's doing it. I know it's all over the place. And people do it with themselves. They make fun of themselves for being fat, being short, being this, being that, being old, being, you know, that ain't funny. Quit doing it about yourself. And certainly don't do it with other people.
That's right.
Do not make fun of someone's appearance at all.
That's right.
For any reason.
That's right.
It's not okay. Because even though they may be laughing with you, they don't like it.
No, they don't like
it. It bothers them.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Don't do it. And you don't want to reap that.
That's true.
No, you don't.
You sow it.
You're going to reap it.
You may not be as pretty as you are your whole life. Right now. Might not be as skinny. Might not be as slim. Don't make fun of yourself. You didn't make yourself. You didn't create yourself. Huh? Don't make fun. See, what were they doing with him? Go up, you old bald head. And the go up is like what happened with Elijah. He was taken up. He went up there saying, you go up too. They don't believe Elijah was taken up. Go up. Show it. And so they all start. How many know you got to watch about being with a crowd? Huh? Especially when you're young and dumb. Right?
Yes.
Well, everybody else is doing it. Yeah. And a bunch of them's about to get hurt too.
Yes, amen.
Huh?
Yes.
This was a bad day to hang out with this gang. They went too far. They might have gotten away with a lot of stuff on a lot of days, but today they picked the wrong guy. I said they picked the wrong guy and they picked the wrong thing. Elisha didn't do this to them. I don't know if y'all are awake or not. If you look and study what happened with Elijah, and you look and study what happened with Elisha, and any true prophet of God, they don't just decide to do something and do it. He heard this from the Lord. Are y'all with me? And he just said what the Lord told him to say. And it was a sign to the whole city that they had gone way too far and they're in the ditch and they don't even know who they're talking about and what they're doing. Something needed to shake the whole area and go, what are you doing? How did you get like this? Well, in 2 Kings 17, the people had gotten so far away from God that he had allowed their enemies to come and defeat them and take them over. And then the Assyrians took the people out of the cities of God's people and replaced them with Assyrians. Well, in 2 Kings 17 and 25, at the beginning of their dwelling there, this is the Assyrians living in the towns of God's people that they have displaced. What was their follow? They didn't fear the Lord. And so the Lord sent lions among them and slew some of them. Now the Lord, he takes full responsibility. The reason it says the Lord sent lions among them, he is the righteous judge of all the earth. It stops with him. And yet, if you look at places like Job and other places, God passed judgment, but he didn't personally go do this. The Bible said the devil went out from the presence of the Lord and smote Job. It was the devil who did it. And is it God's will to see these lions killing people in the cities? No. But what? They have no protection. I said they have no protection. Why don't they have any protection? There's blasphemy in the streets every day. There's mocking and cussing and ungodliness. And it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And the lions, they're just hungry. They're just like, hey, what are we going to eat today? Now, you're laughing. But unless there's some protection, they don't recognize city limits. Right? And once they ate an Assyrian or two, they said, hey, I like Assyrians. Huh? And then they tell their friends. Verse 26. So they told the king. Now, here's how big of a deal it was. They sent word back to headquarters and they said, the nations that you removed and placed in the cities of Samaria, they don't know the manner of the God of the land. And so he has sent lions among them, and they're killing them because they don't know the manner of the God of the land, which was Jehovah. And the king of Assyria said, well, you better get one of the priests then and take him back and let him teach them the manner of the God of the land. And so one of the priests whom they had carried away came and dwelt in Bethel. And what did he do? Bethel, this is where they yelled, go up, O bald head. Same area. They came and taught them what? Huh? How do we fix this? People getting eaten by lions. You got to learn to fear the Lord. Why? Because you need His protection. Right? You need His protection just to make it through the day. Go with me to Luke, the 13th chapter. Luke 13, and let's look at what Jesus said about some of these things. Luke 13 and 1. Is this okay?
Yes.
Is it Bible?
Yes.
See, I know some folks avoid passages like this. But should we avoid it?
No.
Act like it's not there?
No.
Somebody says, well, yeah, but Brother Keith, that's all Old Testament. So you're saying God has changed.
No.
Our covenant has changed. But has God changed?
No.
He hasn't changed. Is it still wrong to mock the things of God?
Yes.
Could you wind up forfeiting your protection?
Yes.
By acting like this and talking like this, and being worldly like this. It's not that God decided He's going to get you. It's just that, you know, you forfeit His protection. In Luke 13 and 1, it said there were present that season some that told him, Jesus, of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. So they were offering sacrifices, and Pilate had them slaughtered. When they were slaughtering the sacrificial animal, he slaughtered them. And everybody around there knew it. Verse 2, and Jesus said, do you suppose that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? Now here is answer to the question, why do bad things happen to so-called good people? Everybody's awake now. Huh? If something bad happened, then it must be because those folks were worse than the people that were living around them. And the Lord said what?
No.
I tell you, nay. That means no. No. What happened to them did not happen to them because they were bad people and worse people than anybody else around. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He's telling them, you're in danger and don't realize it. Why? They weren't protected. That's why that happened to them. How are you going to be safe? He said there needs to be a change. Repent means change. Keep reading. He said, they said, what about those 18 that the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, killed them? And then that whole area around there, everybody knew there was this tower and these people were around it, and all at once this tower fell. And it fell on the people and killed them, 18 of them. He said, do you think that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? And he said the same thing. I tell you, no. That didn't happen to them because they were worse people than somebody else. Sometimes you'll hear even preachers say something, some kind of catastrophe happened and some kind of this or that. And you'll even hear preachers say, yeah, see, judgment's coming. Well, you're saying the people in your town are better? No. I mean, if that was true, then it would only be the very worst sinning places. Right? That would happen first and in sequence. No, no. Here's the thing. We live in a curse-filled, death-filled place. This is a dangerous place to live. Right? There is disease. There is curse. There is weather. There are drunk people on the road and people high and people mean and murderers and robbers, and there's stuff everywhere. There's enough disease. There's enough virus in the water you drink and the air you breathe to kill you 40 times before the week's over. I said, Brother Keith, this is not edifying. You need to know that without His help, you won't make it. You won't make it to the end of the year. You won't make it to the end of your life. But to those that fear Him, oh, those that fear Him, the angel of the Lord encamps round about them. And when the tower's fallen, He'll push you out of the way. Huh? Or the Holy Ghost will come up in you at breakfast and say, don't go to the tower today. Stay away from the tower today. I'm serious. But is this protection owed to everybody on the planet? All the cursers and mockers and blasphemers? It is not. It is not. And so people are just, you know, without God, you are really taking a chance to leave the house. I'm serious. Maybe you make it back today, maybe you don't. And the sad thing is, are you ready to go? All of us need to be ready to go now. Yes. Right now. Huh? That's right. If your heart stopped beating right now, in seconds, your spirit will leave your body. Are you ready to go? Yes. Are you guaranteed years from now and long life? And if you listen to Him and follow Him, He said, with long life, I'll satisfy you and show you my salvation. And in that same passage, he said, the angel of the Lord encamps round about those that fear Him and delivers them. They keep us in all our ways. But it's because we respect the Lord. We honor Him. We trust Him. We believe Him and we listen to Him. Somebody say, I listen to Him. I'm His sheep. I know His voice. A stranger's voice I don't follow. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Go ahead, stand on your feet, everybody. We could go further, but I want us to pray just a little bit about this. This phrase on top of the platform here, it's from 1 Samuel 2 and 30. And he said, them that honor me, I will honor. They that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. That word lightly esteemed, that's the same word translated cursed that the prophet spoke over those youths. Lightly esteemed. Were they worth saving? And so you'll hear people say, well, yes, all lives are worth saving. That's your reasoning. All lives have been paid for by the blood of the Lamb. But if they won't respect that, if they don't respect that, they have judged themselves unworthy of being saved and forfeit salvation. God's not sending people to hell. They're sending themselves. God's not destroying people throughout the earth. They're forfeiting their own salvation, their own protection. Somebody say, not me. Not me by the grace of God. Not me. So we don't know who's in the house. We don't know who's watching online. But close your eyes and pray this prayer, please. And show proper respect, not to me, to the Lord. Said out loud, Father God, I acknowledge that you are the great God Jehovah, the Lord God Almighty, creator of heavens and earth, creator of us, the descendants of Adam and Eve, the descendants of Noah. Thank you, Lord, that you have made us the seed of Abraham, joint heirs with Christ. You've made me somebody, someone of worth, bought by the blood, redeemed by the blood. I respect the blood. I revere the Lord Jesus and his sacrifice. I reverence and I honor the gospel, your holy word, your holy church, your holy people. Forgive me for any slight or making light of things I didn't understand. Teach me. Open my eyes and heart and mind to see what is holy, what is precious, what is you, what is yours, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now lift your hands. Pray in the Spirit some. Pray and praise. Holy, Konsan, Tanin, Dagon, Mende, Losa, Trendy, Jenna, Felo, Komblesa. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Just keep your eyes closed for a moment. Honoring the Lord, respecting him, involves respecting those he puts over you and those he sends to you to speak to you. And there are a number of situations where the Lord has sent words to you and gave you counsel, but there are some that have despised it and rejected it. And Jesus said, if you don't receive me, you don't receive the one that sent me. If you don't receive the one I sent, you didn't receive me. You don't want to do that. Sometimes people are searching for the answer, and the Lord's already given you the answer. He gave it to you, but you didn't respect it. You ignored it. You chose to not do it. Forget about it. Everybody said out loud, Lord, anything you've shown me that I did not heed, I repent. Remind me, please. Show me again what you said to me, what you showed me, and that it was you And I purpose to respect whomever you choose to use. And to respect your words, however they come. Thank you for it. Now pray in the Spirit some more. Okay, Lamanade. Shalom. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Vamerike. Nenavidi. Nonavola. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Go ahead and sing that. Altar workers, come.
Honor and glory forever.
Praise
honor
you, Lord.
And glory forever.
Praise you,
honor
Lord.
And glory forever.
Oh,
forever.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord.
Honor and glory forever.
Thank you, Lord.
Honor and glory forever.
Thank you, Lord.
Honor and glory forever. Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. 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 Sing that part to the King.
To the King eternal.
Oh, to the mighty King,
visible, the only God, be all honor and glory forever and ever.
Oh, to the King of Kings,
to the King eternal and immortal.
And ask the Lord to teach us about the fear of the Lord. And I believe He is. The spirit of it, details of it. It's not your job to try to straighten everybody out around you. But when they start talking disrespectfully and mocking, you need to get quiet so that they know you don't agree. And you don't join in, you don't laugh at stuff that's not funny. You find somewhere else to be, something else to do. And again, you're not supposed to try to push something off on people, but they should hear the respect in your voice. They should hear the reverence in your words and tones when you talk about God. And you talk about His words and His church and His people. Hallelujah. When you talk about salvation, somebody say the precious blood of the spotless Lamb. Eternal life. Do we respect these things? They're everything. 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 And the Almighty, light Himself, life and love Himself. If we respect Him, it'll rub off on some other people. Hallelujah. We're not going to let the world rub off on us. If people hang around us, they'll be influenced our way. Can you say amen? Everybody said out loud, I confess Jesus as the Lord of my life. He hung on the cross. He paid for all my sins. He's been raised from the dead and is alive now. King of kings, Lord of lords, soon to come again. Jesus, thank you for saving me. Hallelujah. Now, if you prayed that for the first time, don't rush out of here. Come down to the front, even though people may be moving around. Or if you came back home to the Lord, or if you woke up and you said, I'm gonna quit being backslid. I'm coming all in. Let somebody shout with you. These folks are ready to celebrate you. And on the screen, you can call. This is something that the